World famous Phil Hendry Show. Good evening and welcome to our show this evening. And with us we have Charlie the Fountain from San Diego. And Charlie has been looking at and will be commenting on tonight with us this situation involving the San Diego mayor where there has been a charge after charge of sexual harassment. It's quite a civic embarrassment in the minds and in the words of a lot of people. We also have Dr. Ron Tarner later on in the program on some science news. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Charlie, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very good.
Where are you right now? You're at the trade show?
There's an annual consultant trade show here in San Diego, and I'm at the San Diego Gardens here meeting some great people.
And you, have, as a political consultant, you're not directly involved with the government of San Diego, are you?
No, I'm not, Phil. I'm a resident of San Diego, but my contracts are with other cities. But I have been
watching with interest what's happening there, right?
Oh, with great interest, because this is a situation that is embarrassing for any city.
I would ask you to get closer to the phone.
I'm sorry. Is embarrassing for any city, but in point of fact. It still is something you have to deal with. San Diego is the eighth largest city in the country, and they've got a mayor here who's been charged with sexual harassment.
Give me the background. Bob Filner, he's a former congressman. He's the mayor of San Diego. He's been besieged by allegations from at least, my understanding is, 17 different women. And whether he'll be able to hang on to his job is a whole other thing, right?
Well, there's a petition drive to recall him his own party, the Democratic Party. And this is very interesting. Usually you've got Republicans that are the ones that are involved in sexual harassment claims and sexual assault. That's a very serious charge. I shouldn't say sexual assault. But generally what we have seen, what my office has seen in collating the information, is mostly it's a Republican that gets into trouble for this sort of thing. So it's unusual to see the Democrats involved in it. And
You're fading out there, and I don't know whether...
Well, it's the Republicans are involved in it. It's very rare to see women who work with Democrats, women who work with a male Democratic candidate or male Democratic office holders. It's very rare to see women... Yeah, on that side of the political stripe, being as vigilant, shall we say, or as overly cautious when it comes to this kind of thing. Now, what happened in a recent charge, Phil?
What do you mean it's very unusual to see women who work with Democrats?
It just is. You tend to expect from women who are working with Democrats to be a little more understanding because of the liberal sensibility toward social sexual relations between men and women. You generally are going to see Democratic women or liberal women more open-minded. You look at this situation in San Diego and you wonder whether there is someone has been talking to them, whether there is an effort by conservative forces.
Yeah, but isn't that the kind of thing that, you know, when I hear of something like this happening, isn't that exactly the kind of thing that is charged, and it sounds a little desperate, you know?
It may sound desperate, but what is it true? I mean, that's what we have to find out. I think we have to look and see if there is someone of a conservative stripe who is pushing these women toward these charges. Here's the reason why I say we find out that in the case of Mayor Filner, in one instance, there is a woman by the name of Diane York. She's an accuser. She said that he placed his hand, and I'm quoting the report here in the what newspaper is this? It says Yahoo News. Diane York said that Filner placed his hand on her buttocks while she posed for a photo with him about 3 months ago. She told reporters at a news conference in National City that the incident took place after a meeting at his office. She said she reported the incident to the San Diego County Sheriff's Department. I'd like to know when she made that report. There have been settlement talks over a sexual harassment lawsuit brought against the city. So here's why I say that. We find, and just sort of looking at this a lot of these sexual harassment claims are brought by women in a similar situation where there was a photograph taken or there was a posing for a picture or there was some formal posing, whether they're standing on a dais and they're talking to the audience or something. And men will tend to put their arms around a woman, or they'll, and women do that with men, and they tend to hold hands, or they tend to become familiar in the pose.
Okay.
And so what we have found is that about close to half of a lot of these sexual harassment claims, which are eventually are never really, they don't see, you know, the light of a courtroom, a lot of them are from these very innocent poses for pictures, these innocent moments. And right here we have an example of Mayor Filner being caught. I don't know, but that's what this woman is claiming, that he put his hand on her backside.
Okay, let me ask you something, though. I mean, even if it's a pose for a photograph and it's an innocent, and it's something, as you say, that they're going to do naturally, that's a very specific area of a woman's body, and a guy ought to be aware of that, should he not?
Oh, there's no question, absolutely.
Okay, so why, if you're posing and you're being casual and you're with a coworker and you're just, you know, you're showing a collegial, shall we say.
Yeah, I think that's what we're talking about. It's not anything intimate, Phil. It is collegial. It is professional.
All right. Okay. It may be collegial and professional, but he's got his hand on her backside, as you say.
Right. But this is a very instinctive and natural move for a man to make. What I'm trying to do is separate the wheat from the chaff. Where is this guy guilty of sexual harassment, and where is it where they're overplaying their hand and it's too much? You know, the guy, if he's made mistakes, he's made mistakes. But if he has been wrongly accused simply because his hand cupped, he put his hand in a cupping motion, then I think we have to talk about that. And that's what my consultancy is all about. You know, we go in, we take a look at a candidate, we take a look at his administration, his candidacy, at his efficacy, his effectiveness, and also what are the bad things, what are the good things. This guy Filner, I think, is being, I think enough is enough. I mean, the guy is, if you want, my wife said to me, well, he's a blank blank, and I said, well, if you want to call a scumbag, I said, the guy could be a scumbag, but let's charge him with what he did, not what you just think is bad.
If you touch a woman that way, whether it was a mistake or not, you know.
Well, but Phil, it's a very familial, it's a collegial move.
To put your hand on a woman's rear end, you call collegial. You say that that's something that a guy does when he's posing for a photograph. This woman's charged sexual harassment because he ought to know better. See, that's the point.
Yeah, but of course he knows better, but it in that moment when they're taking a picture, a man's hand is going to go there because that's a natural place in a collegial atmosphere for a man's hand to go.
All right, we're talking here with Charlie LaFountain about Mayor Norm Filner of San Diego. I said Norm. Is it Bob? What is this guy's name? Yeah, Bob Filner of San Diego, who's been charged with sexual harassment, a number of sexual harassment complaints, and they're all very, very serious, and certainly it could cost, it's going to cost in some way, shape, or form his mayorship or his administration there in San Diego once these sexual harassment claims are settled. There's no doubt. We'll be right back with more from Charlie LaFountain, and it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-507-445, 855-507-445, and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Pardon me, for those of you watching on Phil TV in HD, I am moving the fan a little bit closer to our broadcast position here. On the line with me is Charlie LaFountain. He's in San Diego at the San Diego Gardens there for the consultancy expo. And what is this, Charlie? They got a bunch of consultants together, huh?
Yeah, well, it's my business, so we do. We get together and we talk about the business, and certainly we advertise what we're able to do. What I do is political consultancy, and that is consulting small administrations. in and around the United States. My business is located in San Diego. As I said to you, I have no connection, fiduciary, otherwise, with a San Diego situation.
All right. In recapping what you've said just so far about Mayor Bob Filner in San Diego, who has been the subject of this understandable scrutiny and terrible, this sort of ongoing and ever burgeoning scandal having to do with sexual harassment, you're saying that the man could very well be guilty. We don't know, but at least in one instance that you know of, and maybe more, it's a little overplayed.
I think it's overplayed. I think that you've got, this is a beautiful opportunity for the conservative and Republican, roots and the old line in San Diego, which is extremely conservative, extremely Republican. Who doesn't believe that Filner is the object of a great deal of contempt just because he's a Democrat? When you're talking about San Diego, it doesn't get more... Oh, forgive me for saying this, Phil, because I love living in San Diego, but it's politically, it doesn't get more right-wing. It's a right, far-right, hard-right city. They have the military there, and the...
that's got nothing to do... Do you think that has something to do with the military?
I think that if you... I don't know, but I mean, I think that when you have the military and then you have this sort of right-wing political atmosphere, it's the whole thing. If I'm a Democrat, I think I'm going to be extremely nervous. Now what have you got? You got Bob Filner making a natural move, a cupping move again.
When you say a cupping move, Margaret Gray is with us. We also have Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. Margaret?
Hi. Mr. LaFountain, is that the name?
Charlie LaFountain, yeah.
When you talk about a cupping move, are you talking about the man putting his hand on her buttock?
Yes, and that was the move that he made. And it's
you call that normal?
Well, I call it natural. I don't know if it's normal or not.
Well, what's the difference? If it's not normal, is it normal or is it not?
It's a natural move. It's a very natural move.
But is it normal? That's what Phil's asking. Would you call that a normal thing to do?
I would say that it's not. I would say that if you're not married to a woman and she's married and you're not, and you're not married to her, and you have your hand on her, one of the. And I said in when I did the interview with Channel 8, so I'll just say what I said. When you have your hand on one of the cheeks of her, and I use the word ass.
You gave an interview with Channel 8 in San Diego, and you said that.
Yeah. Well, I was caught off guard. I was going to my car, and they said, "Can we get a couple of comments from you, Charlie, about what's going on?"
Well, when you're talking about television, and you're a political consultant, what would you consult of a political candidate who talked like that?
Well, let me finish what I'm saying before you guys jump on me, because I'm not the mayor of San Diego. I'm not the guy that's being indicted here.
Right, I understand that, but you're saying that it's a normal thing for a man to, in a photographic setting, in a pose, in some kind of a presentational forum, when people are standing together and they're relaxed, that it's normal for a man to put his arm around a woman in a collegial way, I think is what you said.
That is correct, yes. And to anticipate, when I say collegial...
Yeah, because you say collegial, that means professionally friendly.
Yes, and when you say cupping, and then you gave the interview with Channel 8, and you said cupped, or the cheek of her ass, is that what you said?
Yes, I did say that, but I was not saying that in a prurient way. I was trying to give the people that were watching on television, and perhaps listening on radio, I was trying to tell them what the normal motion would be for a man. If you're going to put your arm around a woman, let me just say this, all right?
Well, wait. You know, to me, and excuse me for interrupting you.
The way you interrupted me there, Phil, I don't know, are you all right? Because you went, well, why? And what I'm trying to say...
It's not necessary to critique how I'm talking to you. It's necessary for me to get my question and comment out here. And what I'm saying is, you can talk all you want about the description of how this guy touched this woman, and you're trying to say that there's a certain way of touching a woman on her backside. She's not your wife. She's not your girlfriend. You have no familial relationship with her that way, or familial. You have no intimate relationship with her that way at all. And yet you're saying that it's perfectly excusable.
That's the part that I don't understand, because if a man did that to me, I can assure you there would be... I would not hesitate in grabbing and defending myself. Now, we've all been in situations like that. I don't think there's a woman listening that hasn't reached for a letter opener, that hasn't reached, you know...
Dad!
Hold on for a minute. I'm not done, bud.
Well, you're talking about a letter opener.
Yeah, see, that to me, that's... Are you talking about stabbing a man?
Well, when you say, am I talking about stabbing a man? If a man touches me that way, I reach for a letter opener, I reach for any... A bookend, something heavy, and something that I defend myself with. And the first thing I do is I turn to him, and I find the most vulnerable place on him, and I attempt to disabuse him of the idea that he can cup, in your words, one cheek of my ass. Excuse me.
Well, Ms. Gray, what I'm hearing here is if you don't mind me saying, Phil.
Go ahead.
I heard you go, there's a laugh.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a laugh there.
I am not laughing at all. I was coughing.
It looked like she was coughing.
Well.
Is anyone asking you?
Well, all right. At least one gentleman there says that it... look, I don't want to argue about this. What I'm trying to say is this guy Filner, that I can tell you right now, I wouldn't invite this guy to a dogfight. I wouldn't have anything to do with him. I wouldn't invite him over for a glass of stale beer. But right is right. Either he's guilty of these crimes or he's not. And either he did what they say he did or he did not. And to say that this man was sexually harassing, if he did, he did. But in a case of, she said he cupped her buttock.
Is that what she said? She said he touched her on the buttock or the backside.
But the interview that you, well, you gave the interview.
Well, I gave the interview based upon what I imagine he did, which was cup. Excuse my language, and I realize it probably wasn't in retrospect. It wasn't a problem when I said he cupped the cheek of her ass. That's what I would have done if I were of a mind. And thank God I'm not. Thank God I'm not that kind of an animal. But if...
Okay, so you just called any guy that would do that an animal.
I did not call any guy that would do it.
Yeah, you just said that thank God I'm not that kind of an animal.
I said that kind. I didn't say any man that does that. I said that as a married man, there are... I'm not the kind of guy like Filner that's out there like an animal... who is sexually harassing everything that moves. That's the thing that I'm trying to say to you.
Well, what is it that he is doing then that you think is... What is it that is being delivered to this man in the terms of injustice?
I think that he's been accused, over-accused, by a Republican old guard in San Diego looking to harass a Democratic mayor right out of office, and I think that it's what you're guilty of, you're guilty of. What you're not guilty of, you're not guilty of, and I think that's what's going on.
All right, a politically motivated harassment.
I believe in some instances, not all.
Well, look, if the guy is guilty of sexual harassment in any one of these instances, he deserves to have this looked at. It deserves to be dealt with legally, and if so, he deserves to lose his job. So forget about whether there's an instance here or an instance there, you know, where this thing is you know, whether he cupped an ass cheek. You know, I think it's unfortunate because that quote from you got out over the airwaves in San Diego, and it got out in the media down there, and they think that that's what he did.
Well, Phil, I would ask you, what else could it be?
Yes, but he's not speaking for himself.
He's not speaking for himself. I think he should. I think he should stand up and defend himself. What else could it be? If he stands there and she said... that he cupped he had his hand right up there. You know, I mean, to me, that's what the quote is.
He didn't say he had his hand right up there.
I'm saying that that's what he should have said to clear the air. So,
Yeah, well, right now, the people think that what he did is he cupped an ass cheek because that's what you said.
Yes, and the mayor has not stated.
I'm almost certain that's what he did. I could swear to God. I
don't know how you can make that claim.
I'm just saying, any man that's honest, that's what you would do.
All right, we're talking here with Charlie LaFountain from the LaFountain Consultancy, political consultancy in San Diego. He's down there at the consultancy forum in San Diego, the convention. And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, as we continue talking about this series of scandals involving Mayor of San Diego Bob Filner, sexual harassment scandals, and the most recent, a woman saying that he was, they were posing for a photograph, and he touched her backside.
Backside, it could be like her shoulder.
No, it's not her shoulder.
It would not be her shoulder, bud. Yeah. All right, we'll be back here again, 855-500-7445 and philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. Watch our video cast of the show tonight as well, and watch a podcast of it tomorrow. World famous Phil Henry Show here, and welcome back to our program tonight. And don't forget, with a backstage pass, you could be watching this thing. You could be watching us on videocast right on our videocast on Phil TV right now at philhenryshow.com. You could be listening. And I just mentioned during the pre-show, which we do like an hour pre-show for our BSP, our backstage pass guys on our videocast. I said we have a Excel document we're working from. We've got 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. Am I right about that? 10,000 shows. 10,000 shows in our archives. 10,000. So I don't think I'm overstating when I heartily encourage you to take advantage of this, because it's got to be the best thing that's ever happened in terms of just value, online value, in the history of man on this planet. All right, with us here is Charlie LaFountain as we talk about Mayor Bob Filner of San Diego and what he is dealing with, these charges of sexual harassment, which are very, very serious and which are being brought by a number of different women, the most recent of which is a woman saying that Mr. Filner, Mayor Filner, touched her rear end or her buttock or whatever you want to say during a photo op that was taking place there at San Diego's governmental building, I guess, or wherever they were. Do you know where this was, Charlie?
I don't know. I can imagine it was some photo op where they were thrown together at the last minute. It's very unfair. You know, I look at Phil. I'm an objective political consultant.
You're also a Democrat, aren't you?
I'm an objective political consultant. Yes, I'm a Democrat, but you know what? There's a lot of guys that are Republicans that are consulting the Democrat, and a lot of Democrats consult Republicans. I'm objective when it comes to this, and I will tell you that, I think that the man was thrown into a photo op. They said, "Mr. Mayor, stand there. You stand there. You stand there, and let's get the picture." And your hand goes to a naturally comfortable, relaxed position, and it came to rest, cupped on her. And forgive me, and I do apologize to all of the people in San Diego when I made that statement. I was wrong, that when I said about cupping the ass, I should. I just apologize.
Well, you're compounding the problem by repeating it.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, and I must say, Charlie, I think it almost sounds like you're doing it on purpose.
I can assure you I'm not doing anything on purpose, and I think that is very unfair.
Let me go to a phone call here. We have Robert Green in Buena Park. Bob has been a longtime admirer of Mayor Filner, and you're a Republican, Bob. Isn't that true? Bob Green in Buena Park.
Well, I'm right here, and I'm grateful for the... yes, I am a Republican. I do admire Mayor Filner, and I think the gentleman you have on the phone right now, Mr. LaFountain, is doing a great disservice to Mayor Filner. As he said himself, constantly talking about the cupping of the ass cheek. I'm a Republican.
I apologize for that, by the way.
Yes, you did, sir, and it's good that you apologized once for something you've said a great many times. Look, the point I want to make with you, Phil, the reason why I called up and the reason why I sat through the screening process on your program, which is as stringent a screening process as I've ever been through.
Hold on for a minute. Did you screen Bob?
Yeah, I'd screen him out, so he's not a weird ass.
That's what I was dealing with.
You know who he is, bud. We don't have to put people that we've had on the show before many, 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 many times through any kind of a screening process.
Yeah, and he referred to me as a weird ass. You just heard him. I'm okay with it, Phil. It's all right. It comes with the territory. I manage a grocery store. You can imagine the the long parade of, forgive me, but the parade of freaks that you're going to see from time to time.
Well, Bob, you're not really coming on here. Are you going to defend Mayor Filner?
Margaret, yes, I am.
Well, talking about the parade of freaks in your grocery store, I don't think is a good way of starting.
Well, I'll be the judge of that if you don't mind.
All right, hold on, and let's take this thing one at a time. Charlie is saying that Mayor Filner has been the subject of overkill here, that there's been some problems, but come on, some of this stuff is very natural. It's not even sexual harassment.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Phil. If I pulled a stunt like that in my grocery store with one of my employees, I can assure you that I would not hear the end of it. I would be on the carpet in front of a labor board, in front of an attorney. It's happened to me. Believe me when I tell you, I have very innocently made comments or very innocently looked at a woman's clothing to help her adjust something or say something showing and point it out to her. I did something, it was about a year ago, in our office.
Wait, I want to just jump in, Phil, for a minute.
Go ahead.
You're saying that you have been guilty of the very same thing.
The very same thing as what?
As Mayor Filner, that you very naturally have done some things.
But I learned my lesson. You got to understand. It's Mr. LaFountain. Is that your name, sir?
Yeah, Charlie LaFountain. Yes, sir.
All right. I've learned some things, sir. You don't keep repeating the same problem, the same mistake. Now, if I could continue.
Go ahead.
We had in the lunchroom, in the break room, one of these pointers that I've been using at a presentation earlier with some of the buyers and some of the people that we got working at our stock room. And I had this pointer that I was using to point out things. In the break room came this gal, and I used the pointer, and I pointed at a piece of clothing that I could see, and I didn't want to be crude about it. I didn't want to go pointing and saying, hey, look, I can see her bra, or I can see part of her breast. And I didn't want to make a spectacle of myself, so I pointed it out with a pointer. And even that got me in trouble.
Well, that's about the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Why is that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, yeah? The man has a pointer.
I was trying to point out to the girl that I could see right through this brassiere. And I could see the brassiere.
What was the was her blouse open or something? Well, first of all, she was an employee.
Yes, she was one of my checkers.
All right. Very, very, you know, obviously a very advised, you know, you're well advised to do that. So what exactly were you trying to point out to her?
I was pointing out to her that the brassiere she was wearing, you could see through if the blouse ever came open. That's all.
Was the blouse open?
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Well, may I say something?
Hold on for just a minute there, Sunshine, because I'm not finished yet.
I don't appreciate being called Sunshine. If we are going to have an adult conversation,
yeah, Bob. Let's just keep this in at least a quasi professional tone.
I understand that, but this man he wants to jump all over a guy that I admire a great deal. I'm a Republican, and yet I think Bob Filner is one hell of a good mayor for San Diego. And I resent anybody saying that the conservatives down there are trying to run him out of town on a rail. I'm a conservative. I'm not a resident of San Diego, but I am a close observer, and I think he's a good mayor. And I think that when you say that this guy is cupping a woman's, you said it, and I didn't. You say he's cupping a woman's ass cheek, and I left that message with the city of San Diego about a half an hour ago when I first heard that.
What did you do? You called the city?
I did. I said, I want to know if the mayor, you know, cupped an ass cheek or something, because I said I heard that on the radio just now. And the lady said to me, I can assure you that, the mayor didn't cup any ass cheeks. And she was joking with me. She said, he hasn't cupped any ass cheeks around here. Ha, ha, ha. And I laughed, and we shook hands. It was a big misunderstanding.
All right, we're talking here with Robert Greene and with Charlie LaFountain.
What does that mean? I'm sorry, Phil. What does that mean, shook hands, a big misunderstanding?
It's just a way I have of saying, you know, it's no big. Just forget it.
Well, no, I don't want to be...
Hold on, Margaret. We're talking here with Charlie LaFountain and Bob Green about Mayor Bob Filner of San Diego charged with sexual harassment. At least he's been accused of sexual harassment. And, boy, they want to get him out of office. Bob Green is with us, a Republican who is a supporter of the mayor's, and we have with us Charlie LaFountain, who is a political consultant. And both of you guys, as far as I can tell, are supporters of the mayor. Okay, but Bob, you seem to be taking exception to the things that are being said by Charlie here.
Yes, I am taking exception to the fact that this guy opened his mouth, excuse me for saying this, Mr. LaFountain, and you're putting words into Filner's mouth and you're saying he cupped an ass cheek. That's what I've got a problem with.
All right, well, I tried to apologize for that. I made the statement. I shouldn't have made the statement. I did say that it was a photograph, and I can tell you this much. I was in Jamaica not too long ago, Phil. I was at the Round with Water.
A swimming pool?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Wow.
And what does wow mean?
Well, sir, we're talking about the political future of a man, and you're a political consultant. You don't remember what a swimming pool is.
I know perfectly well what it's. I forgot that I was in one. All right?
You forgot you were in one.
All right, hold on. What's the story? Because we have to take a break. Let's tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll get back to the story that Charlie LaFountain's attempting to tell right here on the world-famous Phil Hendry show. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, as we discuss Mayor Bob Filner of San Diego. A lot of sexual harassment charges against him, the most recent that he grabbed a woman's rear end while they were having their picture taken. This cat isn't long for the world, man. We've got two guys on here that are both, they both admire the guy, but neither one of them sounds like they're doing him any favors. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And good thing you potted that down, bud, because that was Ween with you.
Get you effed up.
What are you idiots?
Take it easy. I don't want that used as bumper anymore. This whole bumper music thing, man, makes me nervous, you know.
You know what, Bob? That's a good song. Yeah, it's a pretty good song.
I don't care if it's a good song. I can't play it. Last night I had NWA, All right, we are on with Charlie LaFountain and Bob Green as we discussed Mayor Bob Filner of San Diego and the problems that he's having with regard to the sexual harassment claims.
Now, if I could just say something here before, are they on?
No, they're not.
All right. Bud, if you ever come near, I know you don't want me to do this on the air, but...
Yeah, could we just get to the calls?
Well, hold on. You were demonstrating something.
Yeah, I was demonstrating how you did a cup move. They're not going to do it on her.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
No, man. Excuse me.
May I finish my statement, what I'm going to make?
Go ahead, man, okay? We're not doing speeches around here.
Right. But I came over and I cupped your buttock. So?
So you put your hand on me and you die. You want to live, don't you?
Yeah.
Then you'll die if you put your hand on me, especially there. There's only one man that puts his hand there. There are many women that can. I'll just go ahead and say that right now, Phil. As girlfriends, we are familiar with each other.
So you've had a woman cup it.
And I really resent him using the term cup it. I don't want any part of me referred to as an it. It's part of me.
Margaret.
I'm just...
All right, see what you did.
I didn't do anything.
If you put your hand on me, I will end your life then and there. And I won't even bother calling the authorities. I'll just let them find you.
Well, then that's a murder charge.
Yeah, it's a murder rap.
Doesn't bother me.
Okay,
See, do you see how much that means to me?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. You know, Phil, this serial killer you were talking about, this man, Israel Keyes, this is a man that ended life the way you and I might, excuse me for saying this, expel gas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can we move on? Because I got people on hold.
Hold on. That, in my mind, with Bud, that would be my goal, to end him the way one would just push gas out of their...
ass?
Okay, well, you let him into that. Don't give me the exasperated thing. You're the one that's the, you know, doing the...
Yeah, doing the what?
You're the one that let him into that. All right, let's get back on the line here before I lose my mind. Charlie LaFontaine and Bob Green here. As we finish up this ridiculous, asinine conversation, you know...
Look, I didn't make this ridiculous and asinine. Your guest here, Mr. LaFontaine, is the one that gave the quote to San Diego, to channel, whatever channel it was, 3?
No, sir, it was Channel 8. Boy, are you brain dead.
Sir, I don't sit around on my can watching TV all day long.
Well, I happen to, you know, I am in the business of knowing the television stations in the San Diego area. There's Channel 10, there's Channel 8. And it's Channel 6, and that's it. That's it, my friend. That's all San Diego's got. So when a man is charged with sexual harassment, the mayor of the city, and he doesn't have the options that people up in, say, Los Angeles have or other bigger cities, and he's got 3 television stations. 3!
We're living in the day and age of cable, though, man. You know?
I was going to say, there's all kinds of cable stations.
There's all kinds of cable stations, but the people in San Diego rely on Channel 6, 4, I can't even remember which ones they are.
Oh, that's good. You got 3 television stations, you can't remember which ones.
Oh, man.
All right,
You know, Mr. Henry...
No. I'm very amused at what you guys are arguing about. You guys are arguing about how many TV stations there are in San Diego?
The guy that you got on the phone here, Phil, he can't remember how many TV stations.
There are 3 television stations. I think I told you.
And which ones are they?
I'm not going to be grilled by you. Are you a political consultant or you're a guy? You stink of celery at the end of the day, don't you? That's what you do. You're a grocer.
Well, now I've heard it all. Salt of the Earth, and your caller, you say I stink of celery.
You're not a politician.
That was a pretty low blow there, Charlie. That was something I would not expect from... someone who identifies himself as a Democrat, as you do. Bob Green and Charlie LaFontaine with us.
All right, listen, I apologize for that, but you got me very angry. There are 3 television stations.
Right, and which ones are they?
Channel,
I'll give you a clue.
You're not going to give me a clue like I'm a child.
Channel 6, 8, and 10. Now, we're going to move on here and continue discussing this.
I don't think I deserve that. I had this guy right where I wanted him.
Really? And where is that? Where is that? Boy, I'd love to. Boy, where's that? In a bathroom stall someplace?
Woo!
Well, I can tell you, Phil, right now, you know, this conversation...
Let the record show I called in, Phil, to try to smooth over some things that this guy had created, and instead it has gotten worse. This guy's talking about me wanting to corner him in a bathroom stall. Are we professionals or not?
No, you're not being professional, either one of you. That's why I'm going to put both of you on hold so that I can just let you settle down. And I personally don't think that we've got any more to talk about here. I think that's it.
Well, what are you talking about? You've got a mayor of a major city that had his hand on a woman in an inappropriate way.
And they're going to deal with that. The idea that it's a natural thing to do to put your hand on a woman's ass, okay, I'll say it, but that's Charlie LaFontaine's position. The idea that Charlie LaFontaine has made it even worse, which is Bob Green's position, by coming on the program and talking about it, both of these guys are not doing that mayor down there any good at all. And I've got the hold button off. I'm going to let both of you guys say what you want to say. I don't want to hear any crosstalk. I want you to conclude your thoughts. I'll let you go first, Bob. And then, Charlie, you last because you were obviously, the booked guest.
So who goes first?
You!
Didn't you hear him say you?
All right, I don't think that's fair, but...
I was booked on the show. You're a caller. I'm a guest. I'm supposed to have...
Don't have a heart attack, okay? Don't... All right, I will give my final comment, which is this. I think that Mayor Filner... is a good man. If he did the things that people say he did, I'm disappointed in him. Because he ought to know better. He ought to be smarter than that. I've been through it. I've been down that road. Believe me, it's a rough, rocky road. Even when you're trying to do it the right, not do it the right way, but even when you're trying to be, if you, just trust me, I have tried to be as good a boss as I can be. I've slipped up. I've made my mistakes. I used the pointer that one time. I mentioned that incident. I've probably, in my own way, I didn't drill holes in the walls of bathrooms, I'll tell you that much, not to look at women going to the bathroom, I didn't. It was to see whether or not we had people in there smoking cigarettes and taking their time on breaks. That's why I did that. But I was charged with it, so, all right, I lived with it.
All right, that's enough. Now you, Charlie.
Whoa there, Sunshine. Wait, you see how he calls everybody Sunshine?
Bob, put him on hold. Bob.
Thank you, Phil. My comment is this. I think that Mayor Filner has been very badly served by the people of... whatever city it's at.
San Diego.
All right, God.
San Diego.
All right, is that the way...
All right, so thanks very much.
Well, Phil, you didn't let him...
I'm not going to... You know, these mental cases, there's something that happens to people on this show when they get on the air and they start to state their case, and it becomes more bizarre, and I begin to ask more questions, and the next thing you know, they're getting even more wound up and more over the top, and I'm telling you, I can't handle it. All right, we'll be back next hour. We have Ron Tarner on a new phenomenon discovered by scientists. Apes can swim, believe it or not. Apes, large apes, primates can swim, dive and swim. I kid you not, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you. And welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that tries to bring a little more entertainment to you than the news and the talk. And nonetheless, very, very happy to be with you this evening. Alongside me, Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We have Dr. Ron Tarner to join us here in a moment to talk about a study that he is interested in and wanted to bring to our attention. Who knew apes can swim and dive? Apes, as in, I guess, what do they mean by apes?
Talk about ape. Yeah, like Godzilla. Not Godzilla.
Not Godzilla. You mean like a gorilla?
Well, what was Godzilla? It was a lizard.
In any event, an ape. A reminder that our website, philhenryshow.com, what's the matter?
Well, but Phil, you don't have to throw your arms up. You need an ape.
Yeah, get all pissed off.
Look, man, I'm not going to have an argument of whether Godzilla was an ape or a lizard, okay? All I'm trying to do is tell you that this is what the article's about, and this is what Dr. Turner's going to talk about, and the rest of it you guys can just, you know, just argue among yourselves. How about that? In any event, our website is philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass, and enjoy yourself, man. Just have at it, baby. With a backstage pass, you will be able to see our video casts. You'll be able to listen to our podcasts, our daily audio podcasts of our archives, our daily audio podcasts of the show, and 10,000 shows archived, full shows, three-hour shows there for you at philhenryshow.com. So join us. I think it's worth the price of admission, and you'll be glad you did and all that stuff.
So you're glad you did?
Yes, that's what I said. All right, so a study that Dr. Ron Tarner is going to bring to our attention here in just a moment about our good friends, the primate, the higher life, the higher intelligent mammal known as the primate, the ape, which I think of all monkeys, because we're talking about primates, of all the primates that are not human, the ape is the most intelligent. That's the chimpanzee.
Gorilla.
No, it's not a gorilla. I don't know. The doctor can tell us. But an orangutan is an ape, for instance, and these animals were studied, and they have come to the conclusion, the people that know, the people that study these animals have come to the conclusion after observing them that they can swim and dive. Now, I never really gave it much thought, but it is, when you stop to think about it, it is kind of an unusual, dare I say, a very, very interesting phenomenon to ponder. But why would we be surprised when you're talking about a highly intelligent animal like that? Dr. Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory. How are you doing, Doc?
Hey, Phil. Very good. Thank you.
And we talked to you. We've talked to you a lot here since we've been rebooting on the Phil Hendry Show. We've talked to you. There you go again there. I had that audio muted.
Well, I was going to say I was watching you on your Philcast and I could not hear anything. You're going to hear from your fans, aren't you?
Yeah, they don't let me get away with that anymore, man. I can tell you that. And I got a big sign here that says, unmute the mic. All right, so in any event, Doc, we're talking about this study that was conducted on these animals that you were very interested in getting on the air and talking to me about. You've been with us a lot since we started the reboot, and we appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure to be with you in any capacity that I can be. This is an interesting study. Scientists captured on video two examples of apes. Now, they make the claim that these are apes that could... and understand, Phil, there's all kinds of primate study that's been done. But these scientists at the University of Missouri are comfortable in telling us that apes know how to swim and dive. They claim they have video, two examples of apes that could swim, as they say, quite naturally.
Have you seen this video?
No, I have not. I have not. I only got the news on this earlier today. According to this researcher at the University of Witwatersrand in South Africa, I guess they were using the swimming pool at the University of Missouri, it was surprising behavior for an animal that's thought to be very afraid of the water, which is what I thought, that apes were frightened to death of water and didn't want to go near it. And I think that's why we have seen very little migration of the ape from Africa, as we saw migrations of the giraffe, we saw migrations of camel, we've seen migrations of larger animals, but the ape has not migrated, and we think it's because the ape was spooked or otherwise was frightened by water.
So you're saying that apes didn't migrate the way other animals because they didn't want to cross...
They did not, for whatever reason, they didn't want to cross large bodies of water. It could have been for any number of the fear that they have, but now we find that they're not afraid of it.
Well, perhaps they developed that fear over time.
And who am I speaking with?
This is Margaret Gray.
Okay, is she a caller? Or?
No, I'm in the studio.
She's one of the co-hosts.
Oh, forgive me. And what was your question?
You know, it's all right. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Okay, I apologize.
Go ahead, Doc.
Well, the ape, I was thrown off by...
You were talking about why the apes are afraid of water, but no, they're not.
Apes are afraid of water, but no, they're not.
Yeah, you're saying that an ape...
Oh, yeah, no. The gorilla, the ape, these large primates, we thought were afraid of water because that's why we thought... They didn't migrate. In other words, they didn't migrate, and I forget who it was that put forward the theory, the thesis. Oh, it was a Dr. Shepherd. Now I remember. Philemon Shepherd at the University of Bath in England had said that it was his conclusion that apes failed to migrate out of Africa because of their fear of water. And now we find that that is no good because they can swim. So... I don't know where he is right now, but if I were him, I'd be probably trying to reassess what I thought and maybe even hiding from the media if anybody's trying to contact him, which I doubt.
Why do you doubt that?
Well, I mean, you realize a guy is, and I say, look, I've known Philemon Shepherd for a number of years, but if a guy is just a loser, he, you know...
Well, that seems a little harsh.
No, it's not harsh, because when he came forward with the idea that apes didn't migrate out of Africa because of their fear of water... Now, again, we're not talking about the higher hominid, which is what we are.
Hold on, bud. Let me do the question. You're talking about hominids, the higher-level hominid, like humans, like the Homo erectus. In other words, those hominids, higher primates that were walking on two legs...
That's correct, Phil. Those animals obviously did migrate out of Africa. No, we're talking about the ones, just to give you an idea, the layman, the tree, what we call the tree swingers, the ones with the tails they're picking bugs out of each other's, you know what. I don't know how you would communicate that to a layperson. Now, the other study...
All right, hold on. Dr. Ron Tarner is with us here on a study that has concluded apes can swim and dive. They've got videotape of apes swimming and diving. I'm going to get to more of what it is the doctor is talking about here in terms of what is the, as they say, the bottom line here on all of this for human beings. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Join us here for our video casts, an hour pre-show, and all of our behind-the-scenes can be had at philhendryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, just a few miles north of the Los Angeles and Ventura County lines, here from our beachside studios. And with me tonight is Dr. Ron Tarner this hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, inviting you as well not only to listen to us on your favorite radio station, but to grab a backstage pass. You can watch us online and listen to us online as well. Dr. Tarner joining us to report on this finding that... apes can swim and dive. You know, Doc, it's an interesting, obviously it's an interesting find, discovery, conclusion, whatever you scientists call it. But why should we be overly interested? What is, as I said, going into the break, what's the bottom line for us?
Well, Phil, I'll tell you, the bottom line for us, as far as I have, as I could see, it's not the most comfortable feeling in the world to recognize that the next most intelligent creature on this earth that we live on is an animal that is increasingly beginning to master different physical skills that heretofore we thought only humans were masters of. And when I see these, I take a very serious look at this. Now, I have a database that I keep here at the University of Denver, which is the Tarner database. So we call it the Tarner equation on the relative merits of animal and human. And I've been keeping track of different findings by zoologists, behaviorists, by marine biologists, and different scientists in the field of animal study. Where are animals developing skills that will begin to rival humans? And to you and I, it may be funny if you read a story about a dog, for instance, driving a car. I don't think there's been a story like that specifically, but when there was an instance here not too long ago that I took note of a dog taking the wheel of an automobile when the police officer, it was a canine unit, with the police officer was incapacitated by a gunshot. The animal, and it wasn't a dog actually driving a car, but the animal somehow nudged the wheel so that the automobile was in a safer place. Some people thought that that was charming, and some people thought it was a heartwarming story. But for a scientist like myself and most scientists, it's a disturbing report, because you're worried that our place atop the food chain on some level is threatened.
You're kidding. I want to jump in here, Phil.
No, I'm not kidding.
Well, are you saying that the human species is running the risk of losing its dominance of this planet?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there is a emotional response that I think we all have when we read a story about an animal doing something that we as humans thought we were the only ones that knew how to do it. Okay?
Well, let's talk about swimming. Dogs swim, cats swim.
Yeah, dogs swim, cats swim. But you don't see a dog doing an arm over arm, an Australian crawl. You don't see a dog doing a...
Are you saying that the videotape they have of these apes... has the monkey, has this ape doing some kind of a swim stroke?
Well, if you look at the physiology of an ape, I think it's a lot of wasted time, Phil, asking whether they know how to do the butterfly or whether they're doing a jackknife off of a vine. The fact is, this thing is out there swimming, and we ought to be taking more video of this and researching it more carefully instead of you and I arguing about whether, because I don't think it makes any difference.
Dr. Tarner, this is Margaret Gray.
Well, you don't think it makes any difference whether an ape can do a butterfly stroke, but I think this is exactly what Phil and I are saying. We're saying that an animal that swims or remains buoyant or is able to propel itself through water is not unusual.
No, it is not unusual, but I'm telling you, the physiology of an ape bespeaks only one way of swimming, and that is doing some kind of a breaststroke.
No. The breaststroke is a specific... this has to be taught to humans.
Well, whatever it is that we are dog paddling.
Well, you could be... Yes, dog paddle, I can understand.
Oh, well, that's great. So the one... See, this is what I mean, Phil. Either you get it or you don't. And I'm having the same problem with my colleagues. As a matter of fact, you know, Phil, that I've had an ongoing dispute with Dr. Hawking.
Dr. Stephen Hawking, yeah.
Yeah, and I got the telegram last night from him, and it was addressed. It was a mocking telegram from Dr. Hawking. It was a.
That rhymes. I don't know if you noticed it, but it does rhyme.
Bud, we don't need that.
Yes, thank you very much, Bud. I noticed it rhyme.
Thank you, Bud. Go ahead.
Well, the telegram I received from Dr. Hawking. Addressed me as Tarzan. Now, some people may think that's funny, and I'm as good as the next guy at being able to take a joke and dish one out, but I, when you're talking about something as serious as this, then you have to, I think you have to call a halt to some of the merriment and some of the frivolity and some of the jokes, that a man like Dr. Stephen Hawking uses to divert scientific attention away from a very important point.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Ron Tarner, University of Denver, about a recent study showing apes, that is orangutans, chimpanzees, animals like this, baboons, I guess, is what kinds of monkeys are we talking about when we talk about apes?
Well, I think you're talking about any animal. When you say ape, something comes to mind. Margaret was talking about the stereotype of King Kong. And the reason why we think King Kong is an ape is because that's what he was referred to as throughout that movie. I think the person in the movie, that when they captured King Kong, he says, "We have the world's biggest ape, you know, look at that ape." And one of the ladies, I think, in the movie, she says, "Don't we have enough apes in New York as it is?" You know, this kind of thing. But you're asking me what?
I'm asking you, in terms of the zoological definitions, what is a what constitutes an ape? What kind of, in other words, when we say that an ape can swim, what kind of animal, what kind of monkey, what kind of primate are we talking about?
Right. Well, that's a valid question. We're thinking of, when we talk about the swimming ape or the aquatic type of ape. This recalls, by the way, Phil, there was a controversy about this. When we were arguing human evolution back in the 1940s, the aquatic ape was a hypothesis that stated that human semi-aquatic nature differentiates us from apes. Living on the banks of bodies of water, humans eventually learn how to swim. Well, guess what? You know?
Now we know apes can swim.
Now that's what they're saying, apes can swim. And so all bets are off about how special we are. And if that doesn't make you nervous, and if that doesn't give you pause, any human being out there who values his freedom and values his way of life...
I'm sorry to interrupt, Phil.
Go ahead.
Yes. What is it now?
Well, excuse me. Never mind.
No, Margaret, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Margaret, but I'm...
No, you go right ahead.
All right,
Dr. Tarner, I think that was a little bit rude.
I apologize. Margaret, please.
I was going to say, you're talking as if you're Thomas Paine, you know?
Yeah.
She says I'm talking like Thomas Paine, and I heard you go, yeah. Okay, is that it?
Well, no, that's not it. What do you mean if we value our way of life? If we value our freedom? If we value...
Yeah, make it sound like it's Thomas Paine.
Yeah, I already heard that the first time. And what is your point?
Our point is, what are you talking about? You're talking about apes that, in this 1940s, this theorem from the 40s, the semi-aquatic ape, which was what differentiated us from other primates, this has been blown out of the water, if you'll pardon the pun.
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean?
I was saying it, and I was interrupted by Ms. Gray.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If we value our lifestyle and our, and the, well, if we value our freedom and the freedom of our children, can I finish what I'm saying? Because I just can, I just know you want to jump in.
Go ahead.
If we value, and during the break, Phil, I'd appreciate it if you're not all sitting around chatting about how mental you think I am. Is that all right?
No, Dr. Tarner, I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about. And now I we're getting up against our break time.
All right, I'm just saying that I'm saying, well, you're rushing me.
Dr. Tarner, I don't understand what you mean by our lifestyle.
Do you value your life?
Of course I do.
Then a swimming ape. I better take a break. I've got to calm down.
All right, Dr. Ron Tarner is on with us from the University of Denver. I heard him say, and you heard him say, that the idea of an ape that can swim threatens our life, our freedom and the freedoms of our children. I don't understand that. Now, I know from having the doctor on the show before that he has an interesting perspective on the preeminence and dominance of the human species. He almost takes it personally, you know.
Well, that's what it sounds like here. It sounds to me as if news that apes can swim came as bad news.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. To swim with an ape would be one of life's joys. Yeah.
One of life's joys? I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be like swimming with a dolphin, I guess. Swimming with an ape, I don't know. But the point that we're making here, folks, is that Dr. Ron Tarner, with this study on aquatic apes, is suddenly... Now, there was the water ape. I remember something about that being seen in Africa in the 60s. A very, very brief sighting. But that was some kind of an albino ape that swam.
An albino... Sure, it wasn't Johnny Weissmuller?
What's that mean?
Yeah.
It's a joke. You...
Johnny Weissmuller, the albino ape. All right, we're going to be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us with the swimming ape here. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. See you on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us here on the world-famous thing, the Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico. And if it sounds like I'm just a little hesitant, I don't know if it sounds as if I'm, a tad reticent, if it sounds like I'm... Would you put him on hold, please? Because I'm talking about the doc here.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I told you. It's because Dr. Tarner is reaching a point here where we've got questions. All right, so the report from the University of Missouri as well as the University in South Africa, videotape taken of apes, that is orangutans, baboons, this kind of creature, chimpanzees, swimming. The reason why it's significant is because it was long thought to be one of the skills that humans possess that separates us from the lower primates. We know how to swim. Why is that? Because we learned to adapt to the point where we lived on the edges of lakes, on the edges of large bodies of water. It's where we found our food. It's where we nested. It's where we found game if we were hunting. Apes never have, as animals, they have never developed or attained quite that kind of skill. They're not meat eaters, as far as I know. Apes are primarily herbivore. And I know I'm sounding like, you know, I'm trying to be a scientist. I'm not the scientist here. Dr. Tarner is, and he joins us here from the University of Denver. And then we have a couple of phone calls. Dr. Tarner, if that's all right.
Yeah, Phil, that's perfectly fine. But I want to return to my hypothesis here and try and make this a little bit less contentious. I apologize to Ms. Gray if I cut you off.
No, that's fine, Dr. Tarner. My question still stands. Are you worried about the human species being knocked off?
No, I'm not worried about the human species being knocked off. No, I am not. There's no challenge to the there's no challenge to the human race. And the dominance of the human race.
Well, that gives us, makes me feel better because.
Well, you thought that I was proffering a slightly almost psychotic point of view or one that was not connected to reality?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I would just simply say it was going to need some explanation.
It was going to need some explanation?
Explanation.
Explanation. Well, here is what I'm trying to say. When you take an animal that for centuries, as a human, you have felt very comfortable that you were smarter, that you were higher on the evolutionary ladder than that animal. I don't know about you, Phil, or you, Margaret, or Robin, or Bud, or anyone listening, but there are times when we all can feel a little, put out, feeling out of sorts. There are times when we wish that life was treating us better, and you need to feel better about yourself. And for me, and maybe for a lot of people who are listening, you could go down to a zoo, you could go to your local zoo, and you can walk by the monkey, the monkey area, and you buck up a little bit. You feel better because you can say, "Well, take a look at them," or not them because they're not individuals as we know them. But look at that. But for a twist of evolution, I could be in there right now. God knows what. Throwing my own feces around. Excuse me, can I get some water, Phil?
Go ahead, Doc.
See, this is...
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
This is what I'm worried about.
Well, what are you worried about? I mean, we're talking to him about...
Okay, I've got the water.
Dr. Turner, we're discussing what you're saying. Going by the zoo and taking a walk by the primate house.
Yeah, Phil, one of the things that I resent... This is not the first show that I've done on, and... I was on a program earlier, and they do the same thing. They go, they scratch their chins. Going by Zoom, it's as if you're talking to me like you think I've lost my tether, okay?
No, I want, as we said, explanation. I've never gone to the zoo and walked by the primate house to help buck up my spirits.
Well, if you haven't, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Would you give me that much, at least? Will you allow me that much dignity?
Yes, sir. I certainly would.
Dr. Turner, I have no doubt that there are people that do that, and obviously you're one of them.
Yes, I am one of them, and I found myself sometimes in the absolute pits of depression over one thing or another. I remember when my wife and I split up, Phil, and Catherine and I split up, and I was losing custody of Joshua. He was moving with his mother. Back to Colorado Springs, I felt terrible about that, and I felt as if I wasn't a good father, and I felt as if I hadn't been a good provider and a good husband, and I knew on some level that I was, and I was feeling so down, and Jack Kiesman, Phil, the very brilliant biochemist, is a very good friend of mine, and we were both on the faculty there at the University of Denver. He said, "Come on," and we jumped in the car, and we drove downtown to the zoo. And he said, "Come on." And I said, "Where are we going?" He says, "What does the sign say?" I said, "It says zoo." He says, "I guess we're going to the zoo." And that taught me a valuable lesson, which was don't ask the obvious when you're with Jack Kiesman. As a matter of fact, same thing happened when we were going into a nightclub one night, and it said dancing girls. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That's all right.
Well, it said bottomless. And I said, "Where are we going?" And he said, "Hello." So in any event, Phil, I went into the zoo, and he said, "I want to take you," and he said, "Take a look at them." And I said, "Boy, you've made a very, very good point."
All right, we're talking here with Dr. Ron Turner. Let's go to a phone call. Our number is 855-500-7445.
Wait, aren't you going to, you let me, you're not going to comment on that?
I think you're the scientist. You're the doctor.
Yeah, we're listening to you.
Why don't I believe you?
You, Dr. Turner, I'm listening to you, and I am giving you the benefit of being the more learned and educated man on this topic. Okay, sir, there's nothing more to it. Let's go to Dave in Monterey Park tonight. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Ernie, I wanted to talk to...
You're going to have to speak up, Dave, a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to speak to Dr. Turner.
Yes, Dave, it's Dr. Turner.
Oh, yes, sir. I was listening to what you were saying about the ape being more advanced, I guess, is what you would say, than humans, right?
No, I did not say that, Dave. I said that we're at risk, possibly.
Oh, that's right. Yes, sir. You said that we're at risk of an ape learning how to swim better than us or something?
No. What I said, Dave, was that we have had certain skills as humans. I did say, and you're right, I did say we were at risk of losing our preeminence. And, Margaret, to that end, you were right, I was wrong. But I don't think we're going to lose our preeminence as humans for one very good reason. If the ape makes a move, if the ape at the end of the 21st century makes some kind of move to overtake humans, you know, Dave, it's a wonderful thing. We've got thousands of years on this planet, and there's a lot we can do.
I was going to say to you, what would you recommend if the ape, you know, because this is not my area of expertise at all, sir. I'm going to school. I'm taking law enforcement, you know.
I'm sorry?
I'm taking law enforcement.
Yes, sir. Yes, law enforcement.
And so I don't really know. The only thing I would know from the standpoint of an ape would be law enforcement, you know.
Well, you got to arrest an ape?
No, I didn't say arrest an ape. No, I did not say arrest an ape. I just said that from the standpoint of the ape.
From the standpoint of the ape, what are you saying, Dave?
I'm saying that if there was a public safety problem, you know.
Oh, I understand what Dave's saying. He's saying if there was a public safety hazard as a result of the aquatic ape, you know.
Whatever that could be, I don't know.
Well, Phil, I'm not going to tell the man his job. So what did you want to say, Dave?
Well, no, nothing. I just wanted to ask you if you said that the human was in danger of being taken down by the ape at the end of the 21st century, what do we do to, you know?
I can tell you this much. I don't know about you, Dave. I'm a human being, and I have thought this out, and I'm sure others have as well. If the ape tried to pull any kind of a Planet of the Apes move, which I doubt.
Oh, I can't believe we're talking about that. Are you seriously considering that?
Margaret, I'm a scientist and I have to consider everything.
A Planet of the Apes move.
Yes, a Planet of the Apes move. Yes, that's what I'd say. I don't think it'll happen. I think we're a long way from that. Just because an ape can swim, it certainly doesn't mean he knows how to bait and set traps. But I don't think that Rod Serling's fantasy, if you will, or Rod Serling's future speculation in Planet of the Apes was too far off.
All right, Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us, and we've gone from learning that apes can swim.
He's got to be kidding about a Planet of an Ape.
He's speculating, and he's saying that Rod Serling's fantastic screenplay and his story about Planet of the Apes is one to consider, because apes now can swim, and who knows what next is on the agenda.
Well, what do you mean, agenda?
I'm just speaking, I'm probably putting the wrong words into the doctor's mouth. Who knows what's next in the planning of Earth's apes, if in point of fact they can even plan. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, and we'll see you back here on the other side. Our number 855-500-7445. Bobby Dooley had a very, very interesting meeting and interview with Henry Rollins today. And Henry Rollins is on the Bobby Dooley podcast, dropping on Friday. I was there. I saw. I heard. I witnessed. It was a beautiful thing. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us, along with Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and you. And we're taking phone calls. We're talking about the discovery of a swimming ape in Africa. Dr. Turner, the question is, have they discovered more than one?
I don't know. Phil, they have, my understanding is they've discovered an ape that can swim. And I feel, and I'm simply saying that while this is not a threat to the human species.
Then why are we worried about it?
We simply need to need to be prepared. You know.
Well, how do we prepare?
I don't think we really have to. I think what. Look, I'm going to be very, very clear with you, and I hope that this answers the questions. I know that you probably got concerned callers.
Well, no, Dr. Tarna, the people that are concerned more for your way of thinking.
Well, you know, I've been on your show before, and I've been used to this treatment where, oh, are you okay, Dr. Tarner, and maybe you need to lie down. I've had that before in your program, Phil. It's disrespectful.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all, and you know I'm not. I'm simply saying that the idea that the human species has a, that we've got to contend somehow with the idea that apes can swim.
No, we don't have to contend with the idea. We contend with the fact. If it was simply an idea that an ape could swim, I wouldn't waste 5 seconds of my time on your show. I would say to the human researcher or the ape, you know, come back when you get yourself some frog feet. Come back when you get yourself some water wings. That's what I would say. And
okay.
You know, Phil...
I'm simply one more question. What do you mean that we have to be prepared?
I'm not worried about a thing. Anything that apes, they learn how to swim, they can learn how to drive a car. I don't care because we will, and let me just say this for the record, we would annihilate them. Okay?
You mean in a big ape war?
Thank you very much.
Well, you brought that on.
Oh, I brought that on? Yeah, I guess I did bring that on.
Yeah, you know, you knew he would hang up.
Of course I knew he was going to hang up. What are you laughing at?
Bring an ape war. That's pretty good, Miss Henry.
Well, look, I mean, at some point, the guy has to recognize that what he's saying is mental, you know? Planet of the Apes, that's exactly what he was proposing. A Planet of the Apes kind of future for the human race. And... you know, you can watch all the movies you want. Look, I've seen all the news reports. I've witnessed, for instance, the fascination with zombies, which is there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's a nice way of diverting our attention from life's more serious problems. But when I read about a guy getting into an argument with his girlfriend and getting so angry that he shoots her because she wouldn't agree with him when he said that zombies were possible if there was ever some kind of an industrial or military accident.
Well.
No, not well anything, okay?
You don't think possible?
No, it's not. No, it's not. There ain't nothing that we've done. The military. I'm going to tell you something. The problem we have in America isn't the fact that we've got, you know, we're creating zombies. The problem that we have in America is we've got such... we have so much time on our hands in this country now that we got overactive imaginations. We're thinking about all kinds of weird stuff. Why? Because we're sitting around on our asses morning, noon, and night instead of going out and actually looking at the world.
Well, speak for yourself. I find that to be a little offensive. I go online to learn things. And if I go online and I read an article about a biochemical spill of some kind that can reanimate the dead, I'm not... what am I supposed to do with that?
If I were you, I would go and get about 9 or 10 more different varied sources, talk to scientists before you buy into it.
Well, nobody's got the time for that.
Well, you better find the time, Charlie.
I ain't Charlie.
It's Charlie to me. Your name's Charlie until you convince me otherwise. Okay?
Yeah, until you convince your name, Bud.
Yeah, what's your name?
Mine's Robin, man. I don't believe in zombies.
You gotta be kidding me, man. You gotta waste your time on that. This guy actually shot his girlfriend. This was down in some dumbass burg someplace. Excuse me for talking that way about your town, Trenton, New Jersey.
Oh, was it really?
No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't know where it was. I don't remember. It was probably, forgive me, it was probably Florida, you know.
Yeah, well, God, man, Florida's always taking heat.
What do you want me to say, man? Every weird-ass story that comes out these days is Florida. Why wouldn't I just say Florida? If it isn't Florida, I'm sorry, folks. But even the people in Florida are, like, expecting it. You know, the people that take the hit the worst on the whole Florida thing are the people in Florida. Oh, God, here's another story about Florida. That's great. Sure doesn't slow the tourism down, though, does it?
No, I think it actually increases the tourism. What was the story that you saw the story down there when they finally outlawed necrophilia?
Oh, yeah, they said it was going to affect tourism. I'm kidding, folks. All right, so in any event, this guy had an argument with his girlfriend, and he said, you don't think it's possible that that a chemical spill or some sort of industrial or military waste could create zombies? And she said, no, I don't. And he got so angry, and she finally left because the argument had gotten out of control. And he got so angry that they were living together. That was it. And she came back. He had a gun. Now, he didn't kill her, and I don't think there was any real life-threatening wound. The police were called, as well they should have been, and obviously she was scared. The gun might even have discharged accidentally, but the point is, anytime you're holding a gun as an option in an argument that you're either losing or you just don't like the way it's going, friend, you got some real serious... A guy like that ought to be put... You know, I think anybody that picks up a piece over an argument about zombies, I think that cat should be put in a mental ward, mandatory mental ward.
Well, that's a little bit harsh. We're talking about the civil liberties of people.
Civil liberties of people? If a guy picks up a gun because he's losing an argument about zombies being created from an industrial accident, that guy belongs in a nut house. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody... He belongs in a nut house.
But yeah, Mr. Emmett, why can't that be possible?
The only reason why people think it's possible is because of a TV show. There's no science. There's nothing. There's absolutely no science, no factual basis at all. The only reason why I'm supposed to sit there and have a serious discussion with some dumbass is because he just saw a TV show created by people whose job it is to create fantasy, and they don't know anything about the science either. So if you're telling me I have to sit there and take that guy seriously, I'm telling you, right, I'll call a freaking a meat wagon and have that guy carted off to a cage because that's where he belongs.
You see, Phil, this is very interesting, and we get a lot of mail. People say Phil is so unforgiving, he's so cruel, he's such an a-hole. This is why.
This is why, because I won't cop to the possibility of zombies.
Not zombies or anything, but... There comes a time, yeah, if a zombie would be.
Uh-huh. I can't wait for you to finish this sentence. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, you got yourself in deep now.
Well, if a zombie, I should just go ahead. All right, that's fine. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, wow, that's too bad, man. That chick, why didn't she just, you know, accept reality? Zombies could happen, man. How do I know? Because I watch Walking Dead. World famous Phil Hendry show.
Well, I think you're being very cynical and... You're just acting ass-like, you know? There's an assism to what you're doing, and I think it's very, very wrong, and I think you deserve to I don't know what you deserve. I just...
Yeah, an assism. Okay, folks. We'll see you on the other side of the news, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we'll be back. Bobby Dooley joining us. She had an interview with Henry Rollins today. We'll find out how that went and maybe we'll get her take on zombies when we come back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico here every night on the West Coast, 7 to 10, the East Coast, 10 to 1. Much love and many thanks to all of the stations that are on our network, our affiliate list, to our listeners, to our advertisers. Y'all are, our favorite people in the world, and we appreciate it. And all of our subscribers at philhendryshow.com, we appreciate that. You're watching us right now on Phil TV and HD. And Phil's getting better with that mute button, you know.
No, you're not. No, because your cat's gone on mute at one time.
What, man?
But why don't you speak English?
I'm speaking English.
Bud's right. He's right. I blew it with the mute button, man, on once. One break. And only for a few seconds. So I'm getting... I'm trying. Bobby Dooley's going to join us here, and we're going to talk about her interview today. With the very, very gifted, the talented, the revolutionary, the groundbreaking, a lot of things, Henry Rollins, who was in and talking to Bobby, and that must have been one for the books, man. I can't wait to hear that. That's going to drop on Friday. Vernon Dozier will join us to discuss the Bradley Manning verdict. Mr. Dozier is a teacher of social sciences as well as history at Belmar Academy, and teaches the junior and senior class there. So we'll get a educator's perspective on this very, very important current event, which I think they're going to be talking about in current affairs classes, current events classes, social science classes for a long, long time. But right now, let's get Bobby Dooley up on the line here from the Western States Homeowners Association and the podcast, the Bobby Dooley Podcast. And Bobby, a very pleasant good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
So tell me, how'd it go today with Henry Rollins?
Well, it was a lot of fun. Henry Rollins is a brilliant man, and I had told him, in my life, when I was dating Stu Galland, I think I mentioned this to you, and by the way, if Margaret is there, I would really, really appreciate it, Margaret, if you wouldn't interrupt.
I haven't said, I really resent...
Just, she's right, please don't.
I haven't said a thing.
Well, you just talked when Mr. Henry told you not to.
All right, I'm going to hang up, Bobby. I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm not going to hear this arguing.
Why would you hang up on me?
Because I'm in studio. I'm one of the hosts.
Anyway.
Well, that was very adult.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, would you please ask her to not say anything? I'm trying to do my report on my podcast with Henry Rollins today.
Yes, we know. I'm waiting.
All right, Margaret. No more.
But
no more.
Thank you. Henry Rollins was delightful. He grew up in Washington, D.C. His mother was a big influence on him when it came to music. His mother introduced him to jazz. He said Coltrane. I said, was that Cole Porter? He said, no, John Coltrane. So I learned...
About the jazz sax player.
About the jazz player. He played what?
Played a saxophone.
Saxophone, yeah. And then he told me about a lot of stuff that he told me about. And then we found out about him coming to Los Angeles, and he formed the group Black Flag, and how much fun they had, and all of the things that the punk rock people did, you know.
Like what?
Well, punk rock people pierced their faces with things and painted. I don't know. I know that I loved his music, and I wanted to go see him, except Stu Galland.
Oh, God.
Margaret, please.
What's her problem now?
This is the second time with Stu Galland.
Would you please go ahead?
Stu Galland was my boyfriend. His father owned one of the largest sporting goods stores?
Sporting goods stores?
Yes, his father what?
Owned!
Oh, man.
Well, I'm nervous, Phil, because of his...
All right, Margaret, I'm going to ask you to...
That's all right, I have to go get a tampon.
Go ahead.
Stu Galland's father owned one of the biggest sporting goods stores in Southern California when I was dating him, so he was a pretty good catch. Now, I said to Stu one night, we were kids, and I said, I want to go see Black Flag at Madame Wong's, which was the punk rock club down in Chinatown in Los Angeles.
Right.
And he said, I've got tickets to see REO Speedwagon and Laura Branigan at the Universal Amphitheater, and he hauled off and punched me once in the mouth. That dropped me, but I bounced back up, and I was ready to go at it, and he hit me again. So he really sucker-punched me.
This guy that you're dating punched you?
Yes, but Phil, you have to understand something. We had fights all the time, and I got the better of him at least half of the time. Okay?
No, but this guy punched you in the mouth when you said you wanted to go see Black Flag.
Yes, Stu was, he was that kind of a guy, but he knew what he was up against. He knew every time I gave as good as I got.
Well, you know, whether or not you were, are you telling me that you and him got into fist fights?
We got into some doozies, yeah. And what happened, let me just explain to you something, Phil. I'm not a typical woman from the standpoint of a man hits me, and then I fall, and I go, I'm calling the police, which is what I should do. But my instinct, because remember my father was in the military, my instinct, when Stu hit me, he dropped me and stunned me momentarily, but I was back on the balls of my feet within, I'd say, 2 seconds. I went with a right hand. I probably should have gone with the left hand. I went with the right hand. He blocked it, hit me again. So I'm down for the second time. I bounced off a kitchen door, bounced off a sofa, and then I rolled over. He was about to kick me, and that's when I grabbed his foot, lifted him up off the air about 2 feet, and drove him back into what was a glass cabinet that my mother had. And I mean, we took that cabinet apart. But he was down, and he was down, and like, excuse me for saying this, like a bitch, he's laying there going, oh, I hurt my back, Bobby, I hurt my back. And I said, the next time you think you're going to throw a hand at me, stud, think again. And I remember I took a damp rag and I stuck it in my mouth. I just shoved it in my mouth to absorb the blood. And I went upstairs and I started to change.
That's the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
You're trying to tell me that you kicked ass.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
How tall was this guy?
Stu wasn't big, but I'll tell you something. Hold on. He was put together. He was about 5'10". He was stocky. But you know something? If all you had to do with Stu was stun him. You know how Deacon Jones used to say, you give me a couple of seconds, the blink of an eye, and I'm by you? Well, you give me a right hand, and I've got you where I want you. And he made the mistake of going to kick me. And I lifted him up off the floor and drove him right through this china cabinet.
Wow.
That's right. That's right. Read it and weep.
Well, I mean, okay, but I don't think that forgives a guy striking a woman at all.
No, I don't think it does either, but I'm just telling you.
So you wanted to go see Black Flag, did you tell, and you told Henry the story?
Oh, yeah, I told Henry all about it. I said I wanted to go see you guys that night, but Stu had tickets to see Laura Branigan and Aria Speedwagon, and I went, I don't want to see that, and he threw that right hand. I mean, he caught me. I wasn't expecting it.
But then he threw another right. He hit you twice in the mouth, and all you had to do was lift him up off the floor and drive him back through a china cabinet.
Oh, yeah, he was down like Mrs. O'Reilly's old bitch. Are you laughing?
No. All right, Bobby, so when does the interview drop?
It drops on Friday. It's Bobby Dooley with Henry Rollins. We're really looking forward to knowing what everyone thinks about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we thank Henry Rollins so very, very deeply for being, for being a part of it. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Bobby, thank you, and we'll be looking for that on iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Phil. It's going to be on your website, philhenryshow.com. On the Sideshow Network site. Sideshow Network is the sponsor. And just a lot of SoundCloud, a lot of places.
All right, Bobby, looking forward to it. Bobby Dooley there with...
Can I come in?
Come on in, Margaret.
I held my breath. I didn't want to butt in.
And you don't buy any of that?
No, I buy it because I know that her father taught her out of box. What I don't believe is that it took one... driving him back through a china cat. I bet you it took more than that. I bet you it was a Donnybrook, and I'll bet you that there were some broken bones probably in her puss.
Why?
Have you seen her face lately?
All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. We've got coming up Vernon Dozier, and we'll be talking with Vernon about... what are we talking to him about? Oh, yeah, the Bradley Manning case. The Bradley Manning case, and also an interesting story about McDonald's Big Macs. What do they tell you about the economy of the country they're being sold in? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show, bringing on Vernon Dozier here from Belmar Academy this evening on this Wednesday night. I wanted to let all of my listeners know tomorrow night we are going to be featuring some comedy gold for you. Tomorrow evening I'm going to be at an industry function.
Oh, God.
Well, what's with the oh, God?
Well, why don't you just say you're hanging out with your Hollywood...
Yeah,
Hey, man, I'm not hanging out with any Hollywood nothing. I'm hanging out with people that are helping me with a project, okay?
Oh, a project. Are you taking a meeting?
What's with you?
You're all jealous?
I'm not jealous of anything. I just think, Phil, you should spit it out instead of being so coy.
I don't want to talk about it until I'm ready to talk about it. Do you mind? We live in a time, in a day and age, and especially in an industry, where every little thing you say, somebody runs around. The next thing you know, it's all over the world, man. There's no secrets, you know? Do you mind? I like to keep a couple of secrets. I just like to keep a few things close to my vest. One of the things that's happened to me is I run my mouth too much. And you know what that's done. I got listeners that want to lynch me. Excuse me for using the word lynch, but I got listeners that want to...
Beat you up.
Beat me up. Because I'm not necessarily accurate when I'm saying some things, and I don't want to do that anymore, if you don't mind. So I think that all things being equal, I just want to wait. But tomorrow night we're going to have that, and we'll be back on Friday night. And if this comes as a shock to my good, close, personal friend Peter there in Master Control, don't worry about it, man. I got it all covered. It's all great. It's all beautiful. You work. I don't. Now,
yeah, sure.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. All right, let's get over to Vernon Dozier on the line with us here from Glendale, California. Vernon, how have you been? It's been a very, very busy night here at the El Pacifico.
Well, I've been doing very good, Phil, enjoying your program.
And tell me about the Bradley Manning verdict.
The Bradley Manning verdict, as far as I'm concerned, came out to a very, very satisfying conclusion. 35 years is how long Mr. Manning will be spending if there is a God. And excuse me for putting it that way, but I know that he would be eligible for parole in about 8 years. And it's just like our justice system, I think, when they said 35 years, I thought I was going to hit the roof. I was very, very grateful for that, very, very happy. And then when someone said to me, yeah, but, and I could almost feel my heart skip a beat, and I said, okay, what do you mean, yeah, but? Because I was watching this, Phil, with my attorney, Ted Jeffrey, and I said, well, what do you know about the law? And he said, I'm a lawyer. And I said, well, tell me what this is. They said, probably parole in 8 years. And he said to me, he thinks that this Manning is going to get paroled in 8 years.
Really? Why is that?
He just feels that it's one of these situations, oh, teach him a lesson, and he learned his lesson, and now he's going to... See, I can't get my students to understand this. I've got high school students, as you know, Phil, juniors and seniors, and they go home, and there's only so much a teacher can do. But you know those kids are going to go home to their parents, and when they go home to their parents... Everything you've taught them, every bit of ability to discriminate and to scrutinize a story and to read history and to collate facts, all of the things that you sweated and slaved over trying to teach these kids, the minute they walk into that kitchen and they see their mother or they see their father and they sit down to their plate of, you know, I just...
Okay, do you feel that you're fighting an uphill battle? A lot of these kids are going home to parents that are not that well-versed in the news, that are not, they don't understand things, that they're maybe, what is it, they're...
Well, they're turning over, or they're wrecking everything that you've taught them?
Well, I wouldn't call it wrecking. I think what happens is you work and you sweat and you slave like an animal. I mean, it's no different from what an animal... You grunt like an animal trying to... I wish I could tell you that teaching was a glamorous intellectual exercise, but it is more like... I hate to put it this way, but it's like you're on camera and you're just sweating like an animal. I don't know.
That is a very inappropriate analogy.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to give you... the idea...
Why would you go to a comparison like that? That is utterly obscene when we're talking about kids.
Well, I apologize, Phil. It's because it's been the summer, and I guess there's a lot of us men who've spent an inordinate amount of time watching movies like that, but
No, I don't think that's true at all.
All right, I'm not going to get bogged down in a discussion of who watches more adult films. We're talking...
What are you... Is he laughing?
Yes, he is.
What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you what I'm laughing at, Vernon. You're the guy that brought up I Sweat Like an Animal, and then you're bringing up, like, an adult film. And what has that got to do? I would think that you'd have more respect for the work you do.
I have nothing but respect for the work I do, Mr. Henry.
Then why would you compare it to the grunting and the sweating that you see on the screen when you're watching an adult film?
I was trying to reach for some. All right. How about on a prison, like on a prison?
Well, these comparisons, do you like teaching?
Of course I love teaching. It's been my life.
Then why are you making comparisons to adult films and chain gangs?
Mr. Henry, I will tell you this. As much as I love teaching, and I love it more than life itself, I love teaching more than life itself. That's the truth. That's God's honest truth. But when I walk into that place, I get out of bed in the morning with great expectation and joy in my heart. I feel good. There's a spring in my step. There is a song on my lips, and there is love in my heart for every human being that I meet, just like the song says. But when I walk through that door into the classroom, man, it just goes. It's gone. It's dead. It's.
Well, what's going on when you walk into that classroom?
Well, three guesses. I'm walking in now. I'm taking a look at what I'm. See, in other words, I'm feeling good, and then I see the reality. And a lot of it is a reality that's very difficult to deal with. You've got kids that are smarter than you. You've got girls that are dressed in ways that, man, they never dressed that way when I was in school. So my mind's on that, and then you've got...
Vernon, as long as we've been talking to you on this program, I've heard you utter some of the most inappropriate things.
Well, you know, Margaret, you know...
She's saying something that I agree with, by the way. You have comparisons. You reach for things that... It's bizarre, man. It just is bizarre.
Well, okay, man. You know...
I'm sorry, but I'm just speaking the way I speak. So, you like teaching. You go in there to teach the kids, and now you're confronted with kids that are smarter than you, girls that look too sexy or hot. What else?
That's it. Okay? But I will say this, Phil. The worst of all is when you go in to teach these children and you know they're going to go home to a brain vacuum. That's what I say, where are you going tonight? Well, I'm going home, Mr. Dozier, and I'm thinking and I'm muttering under my breath, yeah, a brain vacuum, that's where you're going to. You're going to a place that the brains, man, you got to, you know, if you were a female brain and you were looking for a male brain, you'd be lonely because there are no brains, see?
Then what would you be doing there as a female brain?
Well, you'd be, in other words, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And all of this is a lead up to the Bradley Manning thing.
Well, that, I'd like to get to that because that's going to be interesting. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier. When you are here on the show and you launch into things, there's a lot of personal stuff that comes with your commentary. There's your life. There's the way you view teaching. There's your marriages. There's the way your mother treated you.
Phil, I bring to... You want truth, don't you? I'm just reaching for things that are going to help me tell the story, and these things are uppermost in my mind.
Well, it would seem to me that by now you've dealt with these things.
Well, wait a minute. Do you think I'm some kind of a basket case that I can't deal with? My mother kissed me on the lips. Big deal. I've dealt with that. Some guys may not be able to deal with that, and they're in a you know how you go into the psychiatrist's office, they're laying on a, you know, on a couch?
Yes, they're in therapy, yes.
All right, they're in therapy. Vernon Dozier doesn't do that. I don't do therapy, okay? And I can tell you that my mother, yes, would drop me off at school, kiss me flush on the mouth, and I told you that she even slipped me tongue. And the reason why I'm saying that is because... Is that the end of the hour?
Yeah, that's the end of the... Hold on for just a second. We'll be right... I can't listen to these stories. We'll be right back. His mother slipped him tongue.
Well, he's been saying that.
We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Vernon Dozier talking about, hopefully, at some point, somewhere in the near future, Bradley Manning. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night here until 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show, primarily an entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We've got on the line with us here Vernon Dozier, and we also have Vernon, a friend of yours, we're going to be bringing on the line here in just a moment. We're talking about Bradley Manning and the case of Bradley Manning wrapping up today. 35 years, Vernon.
That's to me, Phil. That is the that's the bottom line. We can talk all we want. We can talk all we want about my mother.
Yeah, we. I think we've discussed that enough.
Yeah, we can talk all we want about my mother and what she did, and that's a matter of record. But I celebrated today, along with so many Americans, when I found out that an individual who willingly and he wore the uniform of the United States military. That's the part I'm going to tell you. The United States Army needs to be purged in much the same manner, and I don't mean violently, but, you know, Stalin, Joseph Stalin purged the ranks of the army in the late 1930s because he felt that he needed to just clean that dirty, filthy pigsty. And, of course, to Joseph Stalin, whatever is a pigsty would be a good thing, you know, for you and me. That'd probably be something I'd want to sit down and eat. You know, I'd want to have a meal there. But for, you know, for, what's the guy's name? Not Karl Marx.
Joseph Stalin.
Joseph Stalin, that was. I think the U.S. Army needs a similar kind of cleansing. I've never seen more stumble-bum. Who are these guys? And why is that? Why was that little dirty. Your words fail me, Phil. So I will say that the 35 years is a start. But if you get some federal judge, and man, there is nothing in the world that can ruin your day like a federal judge. Nothing in the world that can ruin a breakfast, because I'll sit down, and my life is good. You know me, Phil. I'm married to a young lady who I bless and thank God that the day she graduated high school, I was able to make her my wife. And she had been in one of my social study classes. And so ever since then, it's all downhill for me. And she'll make me breakfast. I can sit there. I open up the paper, and what do I see? Federal judge blank, blank, blank. And I want to hurt myself. And I understand why children cut themselves. Because
All right. Let me just get Father James McQuarters here.
I'm not done with... I got Bradley Manning.
Yes, Father McQuarters is on the phone.
Well, this doesn't sound...
Father, it's fine. Father McQuarters, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, and I want to say hello to my good friend and comrade-in-arms as well, Vernon Dozier. Vernon, how are you?
Father, I'm doing fine.
Vernon, I'm calling you as a friend, and I'm calling you as well as a counselor, and I'm calling you as well as a Catholic priest. And I know that you're not Catholic, but I'm calling you... as a friend, as a moral arbiter, if you will, an individual that can intercede on behalf of God and help you, because I believe I'm hearing from you this evening some comments that I find to be very obscene.
Well, I apologize, Father, but you and I have had this discussion before.
Well, we had the discussion about your mother. We know that your mother, when she dropped you off at school, slipped you the cat. Now, you know that last Sunday when I was giving the homily... What was the homily about last Sunday?
I believe the homily last Sunday was about forgiveness.
That is exactly what it's about. It's about forgiveness.
But I was not able to hear all of it.
And I'm sorry, that was my fault, because, Phil, what happened last Sunday, while I was giving the homily, we have some young people that got into the church, and these are young people, Phil, that are developmentally disabled. You know, these young people that blurt out things...
Is it like Tourette's?
Tourette's syndrome, no.
It's a form of autism, Phil, and they blurt things out.
So I was in the middle of the homily, and I wanted Vernon especially to hear it, because I knew I could see Vernon, and I caught him in my eye, and I looked dead in, I looked right straight at him.
Well, no, you were not.
I was not looking at your wife. You've got a pair on you. One of these days, you know, I'll give you a run for your money.
I'm not saying you were staring at her through the whole mass. But she even felt your eyes just burning right into them, you know.
No, you're full of...
All right, can we stick to the point? What a childish thing to bring up.
I apologize.
And Vernon, you heard, as soon as I was going to say, you heard those three unfortunate boys in the back go, yeah! And Phil, I'm sorry, I'm approximating. I made a recording of it.
We don't need to hear that. Okay, I understand what you're talking about.
No, you don't understand what I'm talking about.
I think it's important for the father to demonstrate, because this is why I didn't get the message of the homily, and that's why I'm on your program talking about my mother slipping me tongue.
That's right. And
is that why? I see. Well, thank you. That's fantastic. So there is father going, eh. You know, it sounds like you're mocking those poor kids.
No, I am not. How dare you? How dare you?
Well, father...
No. You listen to me. I was there working on behalf of the disabled before there was anyone in this county, anyone in Los Angeles County. I came to this county, a young priest from Ireland, in the early 1960s. And there's no one to advocate on behalf. You know this word, advocate? You know this word, Vernon, advocate?
Yes, Father, I do.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have a word like that. He said, what are you doing, Father? I said, I'm going out and I'm going to minister to the disabled. He said, oh, you're going out to your poor people, are you? Are you going out to your retards, are you? That's what they called them in those days.
It's very unfortunate.
Now, save it, Phil. Save, you know, you have the Padre punch your ticket on the way out, okay? He'll get you to heaven. I'm simply saying to Vernon here, you have to forgive. And when those boys came up for communion, I didn't refuse them communion. Even though they slabbered, and out along the railing after the mass, they were slabbered. And it was right there. And I said to the altar boy, I said to Jimmy, you know him, Jimmy Fest, but I said, Jimmy, you're going to have to go out there with a sponge or some kind of a rag and clean the slabber up. Hello?
Yeah, we're here, Father. Are you done?
Well, I'm sorry if it's grossing you out, you know, but this is my message. This is my ministry. This is my church. I'm not on the radio, Phil, talking all this fancy-dancy, talking to Vernon here about his mother giving him tongue, or I don't know what all, Bradley Manning, some midget, some little tiny midget in a beret. Back in my day, we found a midget in a beret. By my God, we gave him a beach ball, and we hired him in a circus. Now what do? They give him a rifle. They make a soldier out of him. A soldier! Have you ever heard anything so absurd in your life, a soldier? Little tiny man with a beret, and he's a soldier. Back in my day, why, we'd have him bouncing a ball off his nose, lickety-split. And all of the...
Okay, that, I can't take it anymore from him. I can't take... I'm sorry. I can't listen to it, okay?
Hey, listen, Phil, I would have hung up on him. And I, you know, I love Father McQuarters, but I can't take it when that...
All right, let's get to Bradley Manning here. And you know what, Margaret, you're...
Well, he's going to call back, and he's going to be very upset.
All right, give him my apologies, and just, Father, you know, we got to move on, man.
You could be all mad, especially when he's talking about a slabber.
What are you talking about, slabber? You mean slobber?
Yeah, I'm talking about a lot of people slobber.
Boy, that accent of his.
Phil, he is Irish.
Well, good for him. Sometimes I think he uses that Irish accent so he can get away with murder.
Hear on that. Yeah, I second that emotion. You know, I'm backing you up 100%. Phil knows what he's talking about. I've known Father for a long time. Man, he'll try to wiggle his way into any situation. It's...
All right, so Bradley Manning.
Bradley Manning. And I will agree with the Father on this one point that he made. Here's a guy, 5 foot nothing, a buck nothing, with a little pink beret or whatever the hell he's wearing and his little jacket, and the guy's dressing up like a girl on the weekends. And I got nothing against that, okay? Whatever guns your engine. Whatever a man does in his own time is his own thing, okay? We've had that argument in this country. I just want a guy who's going to fight for the country. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I draw the line at taking the secrets of this country and spilling them out on the Internet while you're in a wig and you're wearing lipstick. I mean, do you know the joke that this country is around the world when that kind of thing happens? Yeah, America's secrets spilled out on the Internet by some guy in a wig, lipstick, high heels. Are you kidding? I'm going to tell you right now, if they parole that Betty Boop after 8 years, I think it'll be a crime that rivals anything the Nazis committed.
Oh, get out of here now. Now you're being ridiculous.
Ridiculous? And what if it compromises the security of an entire nation, a great country like America? Okay, you think that's ridiculous?
I doubt seriously if that's the case. I will tell you this. Because I don't know Vernon, neither do you, man. I don't know the quality of the stuff that was spilled or leaked or whatever the hell you want to call it. But I will tell you this. All of these leaks creates a debate in this country that if we're honest, we realize that one side wins the debate and the other side loses. And if the Bradley Manning side loses that debate, then, you know, you and I, who disagree with that kind of activity, we're better off for it.
Yeah, but they'll never admit that they lose.
Well, it does. It's not up to them to admit it. It's not up to them. History is the teacher, and history proves the point ultimately. And these people that want to have this debate about national security, what, Margaret?
You're starting to give a speech, Phil. This is...
Yeah, we all deal all politics and stuff.
What are you talking about, man? I have an opinion.
Well, I led you into it, okay? And then McQuarters, McQuarters upped the ante when he started in on me about Slapper or whatever.
No, that was him talking about those kids. All right, Vernon, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we'll be looking forward to more from you on the topic of Bradley Manning. And Father McQuarters, I apologize to all of you for that, you know, that whole thing about a midget in a beret bouncing a beach ball. In any event, it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with our final segment here, and we'll just kind of go through the news, myself, Margaret, Bud, and what?
Well, you hung up on him.
Yeah, that's all we're going to... I'm not doing anymore with Vernon Dozier, okay? We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Woo!